Hello there, Matthew J. Elliott here, taking time out from doing British things like correcting people's grammar and... Well, that's it really, to congratulate you, the listener, for selecting the True Blue Riffcast. Yes, you could have picked any one of the thousands of Riff Tracks themed podcasts on the web, but your perspicacity led you to seek out the number one Riff Tracks podcast, and for that, you shall be commended. Now, I'm going to turn you over to your hosts, Dave and Jeremy, and I shall board a flight back to England without even so much as the boxed lunch I'd been promised.
Thank you, Matthew J. Elliott. This is the True Blue Riffcast, the number one Riff Tracks podcast in the world. I am Jeremy, and of course, I am joined, as always, by...
Sup, I'm Dave, and I almost missed unmuting myself because I was talking to Oliver Olang in the chat. So, hi. I suppose I could have just waited and said hi to Oliver, you know, when we were in the thing.
When we were in the
thing. Oh, hey, Citizen Yard. Oh, man. Boy, do we have things to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have some stuff to talk about.
I love these episodes where we're just, like, chomping at the bit to, like, get here and say... all the things we have to say.
Oh, my goodness. We've got a lot to talk about with this episode. We are going to be talking about Riff Trax's special release from Friday called Grim Trax.
It's time for Grim Trax.
I love the new spooky, dreary intro. Stinger they
yeah
had
you
for
sent
it.
That to me and I was like, what is it? Because I hadn't seen it yet and I was like, what is this?
I instantly had to make a ringtone out of it. So of course I have it on my phone now, but just so I get all kinds of weird looks, you know, whenever my phone goes off. Let's see, aside from Grim Trax, have you had anything interesting going on, Dave, lately?
Oh, do I have that? I'm pretty sure I had some crazy rides today. I'm trying to remember what, because I'll tell you what, I re-listened to our episode this morning because I had to get up early. I re-listened to our episode about the Paradise Motel.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, yeah, this is like middle tier, B tier. And I was like, now I'm thinking, like, why did I think that? That thing is like A tier at least.
Yeah.
Just thinking about Paradise Motel a lot. It crapped snow here. All you people out there who are just like during the summer, oh, I can't wait for fall, for summer to be over so I can have leaves and pumpkin spice and I can wear my Uggs and it can be cold and I can make myself warm and wear my hoodies and have giant skeletons. Okay, that lasted for 3 weeks and now it's crapping snow. Look at all this. Okay, I can't really show it to you, but I want everybody, I want all you fall worshipers to own this.
I mean, yeah, we've got a ton of snow here, too.
Citizen Yarn says, she finished A Dirty Job by Christopher Moore. Not my favorite of his books, but I know a lot of people like it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite either, but I did enjoy it.
It is a Charlie. I read the sequel recently, Secondhand Souls, and I don't remember a thing about it.
I haven't read that one yet. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know which one I would say is my favorite. Of course, the first one I read was The Stupidest Angel. That's what got me
into it. The Stupidest Angel, right.
And that was...
I reread recently... Island of the Sequin Love Nun, and I started rereading again Lust Lizard of Melancholy Cove, and I'm just like, this is the guy I want to be like the most. And he doesn't have like a huge audience. I mean, he does, he's a New York Times bestselling author, but like, he's not like, you know, they're not making like, you know, Game of Thrones out of like, you know, Fluke or
Lamb,
you know. Yeah, or Lamb. Well, I mean, what can you do there? But it's, you know, he's not like a household name. He's not like Michael. I heard somebody call Michael Crichton Michael Crichton. I think it might have been an audiobook narrator who didn't know who Michael Crichton was. He only wrote Jurassic Park.
Michael Crichton.
But he said by Michael Crichton, and I'm like, wow.
Well, Citizen Yarn likes the Fool books the best.
Yes, those are good. I actually met Christopher Moore on the Fool tour.
Nice.
In Washington, D.C. at Politics and Prose in 2009, 15 years ago. It's on my YouTube channel. I took videos of it. But yeah.
Very, very long time ago.
Yeah, I don't have any fun stories prepared for this section, the banter section, but boy oh boy, do I have stories about my life for the Riff Tracks discussion.
My only interesting story, I did kind of vent about it in the Discord. So I'm not going to get too much into it. All I will say is to anyone out there who feels the urge to go see a movie and then decides that that's a good place to do things with your partner.
Jeremy, this is a family podcast, sir.
I'm just going to say
don't. It's a family podcast.
I'm just going to say don't because, you know, we have security cameras now and we can see you and we will catch you and you will get thrown out. Nobody wants to have to deal with that. And instead, let's move along to something else that has to do with the movies. Let's check out the weekend box office because some movies came out this weekend. And
Did they? I don't know.
They didn't do very good.
Well, it's January.
There was the much-hyped movie ISS that was coming out, and it's about an American team of scientists and a Russian team of scientists on the International Space Station, and while they're up there, World War III breaks out, and like they start seeing like all the mushroom clouds and stuff coming from the planet, and they get called from their respective government agencies, and they're like, "Hey, take control of the space station," and then they're fighting each other in a space station, and that movie is flopping hard. It didn't even crack the top five.
People listening on audio, people only on Twitch live right now, here on January 23rd, 2024, could see me rolling my eyes so hard at that.
Yeah, it's
Chad, back me up. I was just like,
I could kind of see you out of the corner of my eye while I was kind of glancing at my screen here.
Sounds so stupid.
Anyway, Mean Girls the musical staying at number one. You know, because if a movie's 20 years old, you have to have a musical remake of it. Then we got the Beekeeper starring Jason Statham. Oliver said that he saw it and it was good. He enjoyed it. It does look like a lot of fun. Every time I've seen like snippets of it from having to go in and do theater checks and stuff, there's always bee puns being made. They should have got Charlie B to come in on it. I mean, if Charlie B would have been in it.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Wonka is still in third. Migration is in fourth, and Anyone But You is in fifth. So nothing really big happening. The highest weekend anything had was Mean Girls, and that was barely $11 million.
So in 2029, are we going to get the Zack Snyder musical of Watchmen? Because... Oh.
I'd watch it.
Thumbs up. I'd watch it too.
You could have a big song and dance number with the giant squid at the end that wasn't in the original version.
That wasn't in the movie. Yeah.
But that's it for the weekend box office. Now, before we get into Grim Tracks and name that Jeremy. I got one other thing that I gotta do. It's Dave's favorite segment. It's what the hell is James Wan doing?
You can't possibly be doing anything new. All he's doing is saying crazy stuff on Twitter.
So, he's made a change in his filming schedule.
Oh, really?
And I know that I showed this to Dave because Dave had a reaction to the part that I thought he would. But this is James Wan's 2024 filming schedule. Holocene, a sequel to Climate Fix, Sea Rising, and then for 2026, Birdemic the Musical and Birdemic Trilogy 2, contingent on $10 million funding.
Who's going to fund that?
Nobody's going to give him $10 million for Birdemics 4 through 6.
Okay, all right.
Nobody.
Okay, so no. Okay, let's say he did. Let's say he got $10 million. How is it going to make the movie any better? He's just going to waste it.
It's not.
See, like, okay, so in order for that amount of money to make a difference, you have to have some kind of skill in making movies. Like you have to be able to apply. Like, you can't just be like, oh, we have the money, therefore movie good. No, it doesn't work like that. You're still a crap filmmaker with a lot of money. I mean, there are so many movies that cost a lot of money that ended up being garbage. How much did the Mortal Kombat movie in 2021? That cost $90 million.
Oh.
And it was a pile.
Speaking of the Mortal Kombat movie, they did announce the cast for the sequel. I don't know if you saw this.
I saw a little bit of it.
Did you see who's playing Johnny Cage?
I know Carl Urban is, right?
Carl Urban is playing Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
So that could that's
been known for a while.
Has it? I saw it the other day and I wasn't sure if that was new info or not.
With this new movie, I think they're trying to correct some stuff, but it's still going to have that Cole guy in it. So I'm not like, I don't know, man. It seems like they're going to try to do right by Mortal Kombat by actually doing Mortal Kombat things, and maybe they'll do a thing where they pretend the first movie didn't happen
and not have a guy with literal plot armor.
I mean, some of the deaths they can't undo Kano. I don't think they can't undo Goro, so those guys are screwed. But the thing is, I don't know if I should trust them with my money because I got burned pretty badly.
We all did, Dave. I mean, how long did we rant about that movie?
Oh, yeah. Guys, go back. It was the same episode we talked about because I listened to it recently. It was the same episode we talked about, I think, Shrunken Heads. So it was like 3 years ago. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, go back and listen to us rant about the Mortal Kombat 2021 live action movie. And I think we ranted for almost an hour.
Yeah. Speaking of Shrunken Heads, that is the current deal of the week on RiffTracks.com, $2 off.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Until January 29th. Just since it came up in there. Anyway, let's go back to James Wood real quick. I kind of got sidetracked. FYI.
Oh, yeah.
FYI, Holocene, sequel to Climate Fix, has been renamed. It is now called Plan B Holocene.
Plan B, the morning after? What?
And then his latest tweet is that, FYI, there is a change in filming location for Sea Rising.
No one cares, James.
It was originally supposed to be filmed in Vietnam. Now it's being filmed in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, because Vietnam doesn't want him back.
So there you go. That's.
They said you can't come back, James.
That's what the hell James Wan is doing.
You can't come back till you paid your bar tab.
Being an
here
idiot
at the bar in Vietnam.
All right, Dave. Give it to me.
We gotta do the game.
Give it to me.
All right. So, hold on, I gotta bring it up. I sent it to a message in myself. Okay, a message to myself. All right. So name that Jeremy. Jeremy is in the hot seat, everybody. So we've talked about a couple of different ways to do this that we might be trying out next week. But for right now, it's business as usual. So these are five riffs that Jeremy is going to attempt to guess which movie they belong to.
Yep.
And he has he gets one clue before it doesn't count anymore. And here we go. First of five. This is a 2020 VOD.
2020 VOD. Okay.
2020 VOD. Mystic Spirit within this rock. Open as I knock, knock, knock. It's a line from the movie.
Oh, God. I should know this one. Like, it's very familiar, and I should know it right off the top of my head because it's very, very familiar to me. Mr. Strick and this rock.
Chat, you cannot help him.
Yeah, no answering it for me, Oliver. I'm sure you know what it is. I'm pretty sure that you know what it is. 2020. Let's
remember you have one clue. Or you have one clue before it doesn't count anymore.
2020. Let's just take my first shot in the dark here. And we're gonna say Aladdin.
It is Aladdin, that's correct.
It is Aladdin. All right, that's good. It was either that or I think the last one for that year was Merlin's Mystical Shop of
Wonders,
or whatever.
Was like, something like that, yeah. So the first clue was the movie, while filmed in America, is supposedly set in a foreign country. Obviously, it would have been China. Second clue, this is a live-action version of a classic Disney movie. Okay. Now, this one might be a little easy, but I don't know how I can... I'll say that later. So it said from 2021, quite the game, gentlemen, quite the game. To which Kevin says, sounds like me when I'm trying to pretend like I'm enjoying soccer. I screwed that up. Take two. Quite the game, gentlemen, quite the game. Kevin says, sounds like me when I'm trying to pretend enjoying soccer.
Quite the game, gentlemen.
Quite the game, gentlemen. Quite the game.
2021.
This will give it away, but it's an MP3.
Oh, geez. Now I just got to remember what MP3s came out in 2021.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. What was that? Okay. There's only like two or three probably to choose from.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
The first clue will give it away probably.
Well, give me my first clue.
First clue is this movie features a television legend.
Features a television legend. Money Plane?
It is Money Plane. That's correct.
Yeah.
You're two for two.
Kelsey Grammer? Is that the television
legend?
Yeah,
Kelsey Grammer. That's right. Yes. It's not Joey Lawrence.
Well. It could have been Edge. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, right. Edge is the wrestling is on TV. That's correct. The second clue, obviously, I think you probably know what the second clue
is. You want to bet on a man?
You want to bet on a dude fucking an alligator?
Money Plane.
Money Plane. Yeah. Any chance I have like to say that, I'll go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 2021 again. VOD.
Okay. A VOD.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't even want to be... I don't even want to... Wait, what? Okay. Sorry. I wrote it down as it was said, but the characters say it so very strangely that it didn't make any sense. But okay. All right. So I don't want to talk to you. I don't even want to be with you. Not now. To which Mike says, that's why I came here to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you. I've got nothing on that. You're gonna have to give me the first clue.
Okay. This movie features a competition of some kind.
A competition of some kind.
Now, okay. I'll say it again the way the characters say it.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't even want to be with you. Not now.
I'm gonna say Dancing It's On.
That's correct. It is Dancing It's On. The second clue was the competition is dancing.
Yeah, that's definitely gives it away.
Yep. So the next one is a 2019 VOD.
Okay.
I don't appreciate you telling me what to do with my money or my blouse. That's a line from the movie.
My blouse. It sounds familiar. Tell me what to do do with my money or my blouse. All right, give me the clue. I need the clue.
Okay, the first clue is this movie features a brother-sister team-up.
You said 2019?
Yes. I double-checked the dates to make sure.
A brother-sister team-up? God.
You're going to feel silly when you get this wrong.
Yeah, I will. Man, I am blanking on this one. Give me a second.
Okay.
Can't tell me what to do with my money or my blouse.
I don't appreciate you telling me what to do with my money or my blouse.
In a brother-sister team-up.
Yes. To be fair, I don't believe the character this was saying this was the sister. I think this was a girlfriend-type character.
I had nothing.
Okay.
I am 1,000% blanking on this, so give it away.
Okay, you're going to feel silly. You're going to feel silly. Second clue is this was an end-of-year surprise that threw the riff of the year contendership into chaos. So clearly it is...
Attack of the Super Monsters.
It is Attack of the Super Monsters. God. That's right.
Yeah, as soon as you said end-of-year surprise, I knew exactly what I got wrong.
Okay, so... The last one is, so you're 3 for 4.
Three for four.
Which is not bad. This is a 2023 VOD.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Recently, in the last year. This is a line from the movie. Yeah, bad marriage, bad husband, bad imitation of a punching bag.
Oh, Jesus. That's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it should be.
Bad marriage, bad husband, bad imitation of a punching bag. Jesus. Give me the clue. Give me the clue. I need the clue, Dave.
The clue is these lines were delivered in a car.
Paradise Motel.
It is the Paradise Motel. That's correct.
That's why I was kind of leaning that way. Then as soon as you said it was in a car.
The second clue was the actress saying these lines is 70 years old and is doing a bad Jennifer Coolidge impression.
To be fair, Jennifer Coolidge is doing a bad Jennifer Coolidge impression these days. So
yeah, that's right. So you are that's 4 for 5. I think I went 4 for 5 last week, didn't I?
I
don't even remember.
That's what you had too. I was pretty sure it was 4 for 5 last week.
Or not a lot, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. So there's no getting around it, Jeremy.
Yeah, I guess it's
time for Grim Tracks.
It's time for Grim Tracks. So, Grim Tracks. This is a collection of shorts that they've been sitting on basically since 2012. That was the first one that they had that they were when they actually recorded it was 2012. And they sent it around to people to watch, and everybody kind of went, no.
No.
Like Kevin said, he showed it to his wife, and she said, no. Mike said he showed it to Bridget, and she was like, no. And that one out of this set was the second short, I believe, that they had in here, The Stranger.
Was that the one with there are two dead children.
Yeah.
I was about to say, is it the one with the dead child? But
it's the first one with the dead child.
There's more than one of those. Yeah.
These things, they make the ending to Zindi just look like happy fun times. Like
just look like a birthday party. It just makes it look like I believe in Santa Claus or the Christmas Martian or anything else with a very happy ending.
Yeah,
where your dad gets arrested.
So we actually get we start off with the guys, and they're talking about the collection and why they did it this way and why it's why they didn't release these individually. And
it's very much it's very much like back in 10, 12 years ago go when they did, like, you know, when they opened up the guy from Harlem. I don't know why I felt like they had to explain that, but they did. And then they did, later that year, they did Santa's Village of Madness. And I kind of like little collections like this where they, like, pop up and, like, explain things for a little bit. It's a lot of fun.
Not this one. This one.
Well, no, this one was
fun. This was you really got to be into some dark humor if you're going to watch this one.
Yes, yes you do.
Cuz if you don't like dark humor, you are not going to like this set. The first short is from 1974. It's called Reflections to a Very Old Woman. Now, this one is based on a poem. I got to bring that up cuz I already forgot the guy's name. Bill couldn't remember the guy's name, and now I can't remember the guy's name, but it said that
it was Irving Layton?
Irving Layton. He was one of Leonard Cohen's, like, influences. And
the Hallelujah guy?
Yeah. So I looked him up, and
wow,
because I was searching and searching and searching and trying to find the actual poem that this was based off of. And I couldn't get it to come up. I couldn't find it anywhere. So finally, I searched. I went on Leonard Cohen's Wikipedia and hoped that they had his influences listed. And there was only one Canadian poet, and it was this guy, Irving Layton. And apparently it's in some collection. Like, you can't just, like, I looked it up on Internet Archive, and it's like, these files aren't available. You can get it from here. I'm like, all right, well, that's not going to help me. But this is just, it's a little old lady, a very old lady.
Yes.
And it starts off and she's walking out and putting bird seed in her bird feeder, and it's winter and she's just puttering around, and then the narrator starts reciting the poem, and he talks about her virginal body. Like, multiple times he brings that up. And it's like, just,
okay, did he mean that literally?
I don't think so. He was talking about how her lover is the darkness of the world or whatever, and growing in her womb was her death. It's just like, what is going on?
I watched this yesterday. I've forgotten so much of this poem. And I'm not going to say that poetry is useless, guys. I'm not going to say that. I will say, though, it produces stuff like this. This is the end result of poetry, is videos like this.
Now, it's not an old goth. Yeah. I mean, the way that the poem goes, Citizen Yarn, it sounds like it's talking about an old goth lady, but this is just some old lady.
It's just some random old.
It's like, it, like, follows her. It shows her, like, in the springtime, and then it shows her in the winter again. And then it shows her sitting in her chair, and then it shows her not sitting in her chair. Her chair's empty, and the camera slowly pans through the room, and it just gets darker and darker until it's just black.
That, of course, means that she's dead.
She's dead. And that's the end of the short. She's dead. There's some great riffs in this first short. The line, and I know it's in the preview for it, too, but where she's inside, and it's just like, I'm going to watch the local news and believe everything they say.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a line about how I'm going to give all my personal information to whoever calls me on the phone and asks for it. Some really good stuff in there. There's a picture of her husband, and it's like a very old, like, sepia tone picture. And they're when your husband died during the Civil War.
Like, okay, so I riffed a movie called Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter, and it's set in the Old West, and that's like the kind of props that they would have. Yep. That's what it reminded me of. I was just like, did they take that off the set of Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter? Because, like, how old is this woman?
Very old. That's all it says, is very old. And let's see, 74. It was filmed in 74. The lady was definitely older than 74. So
yeah,
I mean,
so she was definitely born in the 1800s. Yeah. She's an 18 hundo.
Yeah, so it's the it could be very any, old. Obviously not, you know, that old, but
is there anybody from the 1800s still alive? I don't think so.
No,
I think they're all dead.
I'm pretty sure they're all dead. I mean, my grandma is 100 now, but that's only, you know, 1923,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. A baby born on the Titanic would turn... Oh.
Oh, that was a good one. It fits right in with Grim Tracks.
It sure does.
The second short, this is the first one about the dead child.
Yeah, but it's the second one about an old lady.
Yeah, there's a very old woman and a very,
very
old child.
Woman. Yeah, who has a child who's like what, 10? And she's got to be like, no kidding, like 70.
Yeah, well, she's easily in her 70s.
She'd be like, "Mom?" And they're like, "Mom?
That's great grandma." That's not mom.
Like, "Mom." That woman was stopped being of childbearing age 40 years ago.
This one's called The Stranger. This was made by I don't even remember where, probably California, I think. But it was made by a sheriff's department and a restaurant. So it's a really weird like combination, but it starts off with one of the sheriff's deputies or whatever. And he's sitting there talking about how he needs to talk to us about something very important, child molesters, or as I like to call them, strangers. And this short is called The Strangers from 1965.
That was a very attractive view of me just now, guys. Yeah.
So we have this officer talking about, you know, what you're going to see. And it's very important to be careful because this kind of thing is happening. And, it's very Facebook posty.
Yes. Everyone wants to bang your kid.
Yeah. So we see this elderly woman and her 10-year-old child, and she's reading her, story. And she's like, "Okay, it's time to get ready for bed." And the girl's like, "Yes, Mama, I love you." And she goes off to go to bed. And Mom pulls out the newspaper and starts reading the newspaper. And
dead to sleep.
Right in the headlines, it's about a girl who was taken and they found her dead or whatever. And so then the lady falls asleep. And she has a dream. This is all just a dream.
Yes, and, because these are the kinds of dreams that you have.
Yeah. She dreams that her little girl went to school in the morning, was walking to school, and here comes a dude in a pink Cadillac, and he pulls up alongside her, and he's like, "Hey, little girl, are you walking to school? If you let me give you a ride, I'll give you this dolly." And she was like, "Oh, okay." And she just climbs in the dude's car. And then,
because you know, that's what happens in your dreams is that you dream outside of yourself.
Yeah,
you dream other scenes that are happening to other people. That definitely happens.
And so it's like 3:30 in the afternoon at this point, and the mom's just like, "Oh, she's a half hour late from coming home from school. I should call and find out what's going on." And she calls the school.
Like she doesn't care. Like it's just like, oh.
Everything is very stilted in this too. She's like, "Oh, she's 30 minutes late. I'm going to call and find out what's happening." And she calls and she's talking to the teacher and she's like, "Oh, she never showed up for school today. Well, I guess
that's
concerning. I guess I'll call the sheriff's department."
Maybe. Not like,
yeah, there's no panic in her voice whatsoever. Like, she doesn't sound worried at all.
I want everybody to go YouTube and find before what's that guy from America's Most Wanted, Walsh?
Joe Walsh.
His kid. Yeah, Joe Walsh. The day his kid got abducted and the interview and just see how distraught and bawling that man is.
Yeah, it's...
And then compare it to what this woman was doing, like on the phone. Like she didn't even leave her house.
John Walsh.
Yeah.
John
Walsh, that's his name.
Yeah, so the police officer's like, well, give me a description of what she was wearing and I'll go try and find her. And right after they leave, and of course we get the full scene of them parking in the driveway and walking all the way through the yard and up to the door.
Also something that happens in your dreams. Is that you dream the approach of other people outside of yourself.
And then we see them walking all the way back to the car and getting in the car and driving away. Because how else are you going to know how they got there? You have to see the whole thing.
It's very James Wanian.
Yes. And right after this scene, then we see a little boy playing in the park. And he sees...
Yeah, and like the body is just there. They're throwing dead bodies at us. Yeah.
And he like runs off and he sees the police officer driving and flags him down and takes him over to the little girl. And he's like, oh, well, this girl definitely matches the description that we got from this lady. I guess we better go back to her house and tell her what we found.
You know what that kind of reminds me of? You remember in Truth or Dare when they had that really long scene of when they found the killer when after he had run away after killing the friend?
Yeah.
And they just, it was clearly shot to be like cut up, but they just were like, they just stuck with it.
Yeah.
That's what that scene kind of reminded me of in a little bit, because like the cops are talking like the cops in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was very it's just bad. And I know that's the whole point, but. Like
yeah,
these
but, yeah,
actors.
But okay, so the old woman, I was thinking about this comparison a little earlier today too, is that old woman, like, she was just like, she's like the old lady version of, what was the king's name in The Little Mermaid from a couple weeks ago?
She was just the king of the mermaids in that.
Yeah,
he wasn't
King
Triton or anything.
He wasn't like a King Neptune or something. They didn't give him a stupid alternate name.
Zero emotion whatsoever.
Be like my beautiful daughter. Blah, blah, blah. We never saw that guy again, did we?
No, we saw the
just
sisters
in that one
scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the police goes back to the house, tells the lady, "Well, your kid's dead," and she just kind of like raises her arms, flops down on the couch, like no noise, like she's not wailing or, you know, rending at her clothes or anything. She's very nonplussed about it. And she just kind of like flops over on the couch. And
like a fish.
Yeah. And then she gets woke up by her kid. And then we're back to the sheriff.
End.
Yeah. We're back to the sheriff. And he's like, so don't let this happen to your kids. Thankfully, this time it was just a dream. And that's it.
Because we don't want to upset anybody.
And that's the whole thing. Again, very dark, very, very funny on the riffs, but it's very touchy. That's the one that they filmed in 2012. They recorded the riff for that in 2012, and everybody was like, maybe don't release that one just yet.
Yeah.
And so they sat on it for 12 years before we got it. Very dark, but very poorly acted.
Oh my
Absolutely
gosh, has it been that long? Oh, kill me dead. I'm just going to go dig a grave for myself.
But now we get to my favorite short of the whole thing. Will You Be Here Tomorrow? This was a short.
Why
about...
does that sound like an REO Speedwagon song?
This short was from 1998. And
wow,
it was
wow.
all about industrial accidents. And I actually went through it. Yes, the R-rated Shake Hands with Danger.
This was
through,
pretty gruesome.
And I listed all of the accidents that we see on camera. I'm going to go through them now with you. And this is very gory. Like, very... like, it's fakey, but one of them really like made me wince in pain. And I'll tell
was
you when I get
something
to
something to do with a hand.
Yes, it's a, okay. the third
That's
thing.
What I thought. So
let me get a drink because I'm gonna try and get through this quickly because there's a lot. All right. So here they are in order. A man gets crushed in a compactor. A man gets impaled on rebar. He's on a ladder on a pallet, and he falls and gets impaled on rebar. A man snags his wedding ring and has his finger ripped off under his own weight. That
Why
one
are we
was
doing this?
That one was bad to watch. A man misses a nail with the hammer. The nail somehow flies up into his eye. Like, that one didn't even make any sense. A man burns his face with steam. I think someone blew up their hands next. I'm not exactly sure what happened. There was some sort of little explosion. Then you saw, like, this guy with, like, darkened hands going, ah. A man has his arm twisted around a lathe and ripped off. A woman gets her foot ran over by a forklift. A man rides a pallet up on a forklift, falls, and presumably dies. This was the best one. Somebody knocks over a welding tank. The nozzle breaks off. The tank goes flying through the factory. It misses like two people, smashes through a window, hits a guy square in the face, knocks him over, and then catches the whole office on fire, and he dies. A man turns a machine's power back on, electrocuting the guy who's working on it. That was a great Frank Grimes riff there. A guy drives a forklift into a semi-trailer, and then the semi-trailer rolls away. I think they showed, like, tire chock, like, they weren't chocked right. And so the guy backs out of the trailer in the fork truck, and it, like, flips over backwards, and he falls out and, like, kind of crushes him. A guy gets told they're not allowing any more overtime, so he throws a temper tantrum, and he shoves his hand into the machinery and gets some of his fingers ripped off. Another man driving a forklift too quickly around a turn. The whole thing topples over and crushes him. There's a man hoisting a crate, and like the crate breaks, and all of the stuff that was in the crate falls on him and crushes him. And then a man cuts into a metal barrel with a welding torch. The barrel explodes, and then the whole factory explodes. All of that happened in another 5 minutes. It was insane. It was just bam, 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 rapid fire. And as they said,
it's like Star Games with bodily injuries.
Yeah, they said it was all gory, no story.
No gory story. That's good.
Oh, it was. I was not expecting, they're like, it's violent. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's not going to be that bad. And then they show the one.
You were
the guy,
wrong, sir.
The guy with the ring, he's like standing up on something. And he gets like this canister and throws it down. And he's got his hand on the ledge. And when he jumps down, there's like a little metal piece that catches his ring. And it literally just rips his finger. That one actually was the least fakey looking out of all of them. Unfortunately,
were these based on real things? Did like these things happen?
I don't know. They didn't say. It's just literally. There's a couple people talking about. You just need to be careful when you're working.
And why couldn't they just say that?
That's all. Yeah, I don't know. It was insane, and I absolutely loved it. But my enjoyment of "Will You Be Here Tomorrow?" and how crazy I thought it was. Has nothing on Dave and the next short,
yes.
Cypher in the Snow.
All right. So this requires a little explanation. So I'm from Utah. It's where I am now. And that's where this film, Cypher in the Snow, was filmed. It was filmed by Brigham Young University. Which is, of course, the Mormon Church's college of higher education, whatever. Don't want to get into it too much, but I have a direct family connection with that institution. My father is started off as a seminary teacher. Now, seminary means something different to Mormons than it does to anybody else. Everybody else says, they say seminary, that's a place where priests go to learn how to be priests and like give, you know, what do you call them, sermons every Sunday, and they go learn how to do priest things. Seminary for Mormons is in high school, grades 9 through 12, where you're released from, in Utah. The church has it set up with the Utah Department of Education where members of the Mormon church, their children, can go to a class every day at a seminary that's set up like just like right off of campus on school. So they're like go across the street or like go to like next door. The seminary is always very close to the school within walking distance. You'd be there in like 5 minutes and have like a class based on like church stuff. So it's basically like church every day at school. It's like a church class. And many of us, almost, I would say, all of us had this. We all did this. I did it. And my dad's a seminary teacher. That's how he started off in his career. This movie, Cypher in the Snow, I saw that it was, now jump forward, I saw that this was done by Brigham Young University. I haven't thought about Cypher in the Snow in decades since, because that's something that Cypher in the Snow, this, they showed us this in seminary as kind of a, because the church produced it, BYU did it. And they said, okay, be nice to kids, otherwise they're going to drop dead in the snow.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, so what happens is just like you have a lot of melodramatic, you have a lot of melodramatic Mormons, especially in the 70s, that were like way into like this kind of like maudlin kind of like, oh, some animal died, like that kind of thing. In fact, there's like a whole book series, like there's a whole industry of like Mormon LDS like novels. Like there's this one, I mean, I don't want to call him a pedophile, so I won't, but I'm just going to leave that out there. This guy named Jack Whalen, who wrote this series of novels about this girl named Charlie. That's, go check it out. That guy's something else. But it's very much like this. It's very, like, very, very family drama oriented. You know, very unhappy ending kind of things where you're just left and you're just left feeling like garbage. So they showed us they showed us this thing in seminary where the kid gets on the school bus. And when I'm watching this at Riff Tracks, they said that BYU made it. But BYU also did another film that you might be familiar with. And when I found out that they did this, I was like, what? And I didn't say anything about it to anybody, hoping that no one noticed. But the other movie that BYU produced was a little movie called Buffalo Rider.
What?
Yes, it's true. BYU produced
Buffalo Rider. That is crazy.
So I thought maybe it was something like that. I haven't thought of Cypher in the Snow in 25 years, at least since I graduated high school. So I thought when they'd be like, I thought it was going to be something crazy like Buffalo Rider, not something that like, so, okay, so the scene where, okay, so let's get back to, let's get back into, I'm gonna step out of the car and die in the snow just now. But the kid gets on the bus like no one's talking to him. And like he's just like, oh, there's something wrong with me. And he goes up to the bus driver. He's like, I got it. Now, the moment that I realized that I had seen this before and more than once was when the teacher is following the bus to school. And I was like, and when the teacher said, I just one time I'd like to beat him to school. I was like, wait, I've seen this. Because I remember thinking the same thing when I saw it, that like, this is going to be about like, oh no, he's going to hit the kid as he comes out of the car, as he comes out of the bus.
That's kind of what I thought was going to happen. Or they said,
Be like, oh, I'm finally going to beat him to school. I'm going to like rush past this. I thought it was going to be like a safety thing. Like when I first saw it, but when he said it this time, I wish I could be like, no, I have seen this before. And then the kid just like face plants right in the snow. Boom, Cypher in the snow. Brom, right?
Cypher in the snow.
Cypher in the snow. So everyone comes out and they're all like gather around the kid like, who is this guy? No one knows him. Okay, first of all, how is that possible?
He's a complete
zero. I
want
to know how that's hospital. He's like, a okay, cypher. I went to school in this area, okay? Like, there's no way you're going to, like, sit on a bus with a kid for as old as that kid. All these other kids have to know him, or at least know of him.
Yeah.
Like, they've been riding this school bus with him for at least, like, at this point, he's got to be, like, 13, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
So they've been riding this bus, getting on that stop together every day their whole lives, at least the part of their lives that they can remember. Okay. They're going, not only are they going to school with this guy, they're going to church with this kid. They're going to Cub Scouts. I know how this community works. There's no way this kid was a complete zero, as they say. First of all, like, not to get ahead of it, but like when they started insulting the kid, like, well, why is he a zero? Like, you are horrible adults.
He's a cipher. He's a zero.
Yeah. But so he falls over dead, and like I guess the school is doing an investigation. Right? And I love how it's the teacher. It falls on the teacher to go to the parents' house and tell them that their kid died and not the police.
What world would that be a thing?
His favorite teacher. Also, so like they're like figuring out like, well, what happened? And then they're like, they call him like, I guess the math teacher in there. And he's being like, well, I hardly knew him. Like, well, you're a terrible teacher if you didn't know the kid that you're teaching. You know? Like, I know. But it's crazy. So like, well, it says here, he's your favorite teacher. Me, I didn't know. Jeremy, did you know? Like down there, I didn't know that the Utah County School District down there in Provo, where this guy is, or the Nebo County School District, whichever school district is they were in down there, I didn't know they kept records on which teacher is each student's favorite teacher.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Is that part of your permanent record? Who's your favorite teacher? Because there are some things I would like redacted, sir.
Yeah.
I don't need the world knowing that I found out recently that my first grade teacher, who was my first crush, who didn't have a crush on their teacher, found out that she's older than my mom. And I was just like, I found that out. And I was just like, oh. Hi, Mrs. Wold. that's right. I was hot for you when I was six. What can I say? But it's just that they go through. And another thing I wanted to bring up. So they just go through like just how everybody hates this kid for literally no reason.
Yeah, like the stepdad hates him.
The stepdad hates him. Now, I want to talk about the stepdad and that scene. This was written by a bunch of Mormons. Now, it's no secret that Mormons are big, especially in this era, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Big on, like, purity culture. Big on, like, don't bone till you're married. Don't drink alcohol. There was a while there's like, don't even drink, like, caffeine. So it was very intense. And it was interesting to see BYU's rendition of an out-of-control, abusive alcoholic father when nobody involved in this production would have any knowledge or experience knowing what a drunken, alcoholic, abusive father would be like. He's sitting there just like drinking like his Pabst Blue Ribbon and be like, hey, where have you been? Be like, I told you to shovel the walk. Oh, I was out gathering willows. Be like, you were out gathering willows. Boy, are you stupid. Get out of my sight. Like, you know, he kind of just like smacks the willows a little bit.
Yeah.
It would not like, okay. If he was as a terrible, abusive, drunken, alcoholic, sleazeball slob, it would have been a lot more intense than that. It would have been a lot more white trashy, a lot more yelling, like, willows! Blah, blah, just like smacking the shit out of this kid. Like, yeah. Like, that, like, it was, like, the most, it's kind of like,
it would have been like my stepdad, basically.
I guess. I mean, you said it. Not. I mean, I don't know if we're trauma dumping. If we are, strap in.
It's okay because he has crippling arthritis now. So.
Oh, good. That's good. He got his. I had a scoutmaster that I hated, and guess what? He died, and I'm glad he's dead. We won't get into
Grim
that.
Grim tracks. Woo.
Grim tracks. But what was I saying? Oh man! But it's just like it. And then the mom's just like, "Oh my god, okay, I should have spent more time with him." Not like, "Oh, my baby," you know. It's very much like the not quite as bad as the 70-year-old mom in the other short. But I did ask yesterday. I asked my dad, I sent him a text. I said, "Hey, do you remember something called Cypher in the Snow?" He sent me a long text about, like, yes, I remember this. And he, like, described exactly what happens. And be like, he said he never showed it in his classes because he thought it was too maudlin and it sent the wrong message. And I was like, good for you, Dad.
Oh man.
Oh, but yeah, so like and like but yeah, no, I've lived long enough to see Riff Tracks Riff Cypher in the Snow. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just like I could just like see myself like in like cuz it was made in 1974.
Yeah.
I, you know, like I was experiencing like this culture in like the 80s and the 90s. So, you know, when it was only 20 years old. But man, I could just like see myself like in those red brick buildings, in these like poorly heated, like just like all the whole Mormon culture of that era, and just to see it come back, just like slap. Hey, remember this? Oh my gosh, it's like memory unlocked. It was crazy.
Right before they showed this one, they talked about how they were introduced to it by Kristen Schaal, and they showed the clip from San Francisco.
Do they know
Sketch
that they're
Fest.
More famous than Kristen Schaal?
I don't know. Okay. But Sketchfest 2013 is when it was from, and
yep,
they asked her
11
if,
years ago
if she had to watch any of the. Any weird educational shorts in school. And they're like, oh, yeah, they showed us this one about a kid called Cypher in the Snow, and the kid dies. He just gets off the bus and dies.
Yeah, well, it makes sense if she was in Boulder. Yeah, it would make sense that it would make its way over there. Yeah.
But I thought they were exaggerating when they were talking about that. They're like, yeah, this starts off with a kid,
right,
and he gets
over.
Off the bus and just dies. And I'm like... Okay.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's got to like wander off into a field of snow or something and like freeze to death. Nope. He just takes like two steps off the bus and he's down.
And said, okay. Another thing I want to point out, because like it just snapped. So they said like, okay, so we just got the coroner's report. Why does the school have the coroner's report? First of all, like, so be like, it said the doctor says they can't find anything wrong with him other than him being dead. It's
he
like
died
so he
of a
so,
broken heart.
Yeah, so he lost the he basically Padme'd himself to death. He was Padme before there was Padme.
So that's where Lucas got the idea.
Yeah, he got it from Cypher in the Snow.
Yeah, that was wild, man. And not in the same ways as any of the other ones, even though there's a weird, I don't know, there's weird like kind of threads that are similar in these, not counting the Will You Be There Tomorrow. That one was just off the wall. But with the other ones, it's very weird threads that kind of like join them together. And then the last short was, what, like 2 minutes
That's
long,
fun.
Maybe?
Yeah,
it was just this little cartoon of this little old, again, of another really old lady.
Yeah, another old lady. Yeah.
And she's at home, and she's like cleaning her house and just doing little chores and making dinner. And then Death walks in, and she like argues with Death a little bit. She's like, I'm going to eat this. And she makes her food. She eats her food. And long story short, or short story shorter, I guess, Death dies. And she like covers him with a tarp or a tarp blanket, and then cries, and then the end. And then we
the end.
Get the credits for everybody who works at Riff Trax, and then we get the Grim Trax thing again right at the very end.
And that's, I liked
that
it.
Was Grim Trax. Yeah, it was.
Yep, it was great.
I liked it because it was really something different. Yeah, we're not going to really be able to rate it like we normally would because. but I did appreciate. Hearing Bill mention that they have their own internal Riff Trax sliding scale of how they.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, we have a sliding scale of Riff Trax too.
Do they listen to this podcast?
Maybe. But yeah, it was.
I know.
It was a breath of fresh air.
Some
the
of them do
ACI.
From time to time. Yeah.
I forgot that it was ACI. Yeah, thank you for reminding me that, Oliver. But yeah, it was a weird breath of fresh air. Like it was just something because it was something different.
We've been getting a lot of those lately. Like with Paradise Motel, with The Little Mermaid,
and they set out on their socials. They posted. That this year they will be releasing a few very infamous Z-grade movies. And people have been going bonkers trying to figure out what they could be.
I wonder what it could be.
Of course, the first guess from a lot of people are like, oh, Neil Breen. And like, no, it's never going to be Neil Breen, guys.
Oh, that psychopath is not ever going to No, it's never going to happen. Don't. Just get that. Neil Breen's got to be his own thing.
Yeah.
You know, as much,
As amazing as it would be, because his movies are, they're a level of bad all their own. But, yeah, it's.
No, you don't want Neil Breen? I want at least one. Just do one. That's all. I think that's all. I would be satisfied if they did just double down.
Yeah. Of course, that's not going to happen because it's Neil Breen.
It's not
going to
happen, but I'm just saying,
He thinks he's the best movie maker in the entire galaxy.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever heard the man talk? Like really?
Not outside of his movies, but if it's anything like it is in his movies, then... Yeah, I can see that. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. I can't wait to see what they end up being. I mean, we've already gotten Baby Ghost... And Paradise Motel and
I'm kind of coming around on Baby Ghost a little bit. You know,
no way, Citizen Yard. Citizen Yard said a Neil Breen, Tommy Wiseau, James Gwynn team up.
No, thanks.
That's like three of
a
the talking four.
Talking pony.
Three of the four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should do a special True Blue Riffcast.
David Decado.
Riffcast of a Neil Breen movie where we see like one and then we come on and we talk about it just because he comes up so much. Something like that. I don't know.
But that would mean I would have to watch a Neil Breen movie again.
Just one. I mean,
I'm trying to remember which one I watched. Before,
I've seen all of them except like the last two.
I think what was the second one? What was the first one he did after Faithful Findings?
He did another one. It was a weird one. It was something about like an angel. I can't remember what it was about.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was
called.
Then there was Faithful Findings, which was the one where they all kill themselves at the end. Then he did. I don't even know anymore. Like, they're all the same. Hang on.
A talking pony would be fun. Another Gesundheit. Another another one of those would be fun. Another Dakota film. David Dakota, one of our favorite riffs, Talking Cat. I mean, I'd take another one in that. I don't know, genre? Is that what you... I don't know what that would be listed as, but...
Well, I mean, like, hey, look, if we're going to do a David Dakota film, then my vote has got to be squarely for A Royal Christmas Ball, starring my girl Haley Poulos, who I love, who did the audiobook for the Tumbleweed Dossier, and Tara Reid. I think that would just make... That would make my day.
That would be a good one.
But, yeah. So, got anything else to say about Grim Tracks?
No. If you like dark humor, check it out if you haven't. It'll be an hour well spent.
Yes, it's very good. I can't recommend it highly enough. I think Riff Tracks has been, I think, like looking back at like the Paradise Motel and Top Gun and like Even the Christmas Martian and the Little Mermaid and this, I think it's. I don't want to call it a renaissance just yet, but I feel like we're moving in that direction, where we're just getting like a lot of like really high quality, very memorable releases. And I think that
maybe
like,
we've got another 2017 in our hands.
Yes, I think that if we like continue like in this direction of just like stellar movie selection and just like top notch writing. Cause I feel like I feel like right now they're like at the top of their game in a way they haven't been. Not that like it's been bad, but I feel like they haven't right now. They're just like on fire in a way they haven't been probably since about 2015, 16, 17. So I just think that it's like really, really, really good, really strong, consistent, high quality releases. And I think Absolutely. If they keep it up, then I think we might be entering a renaissance.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
So far, and again, it's early in this year, but so far, you know, if you go from the last couple months of last year into now, I think we're entering. This has a good potential of being a landmark year for Riff Tracks.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, you know, and then the Kickstarter comes around, and who knows what they're going to do this year? Like, it's going to be, it's like, I don't know. I have a lot of hope. I'm not going to like, I'm going to try to not be like, do War and Peace with me. I'm going to try not to do that as much because we've been getting a lot of really good stuff, and yeah, I've been really enjoying it.
Absolutely. I'm just going to take whatever they're going to give us. And I will say that this year they just announced that there's a movie that people have been wanting and dreaming of that is getting a new I think it's getting a 4K release. And that would be Masters of the Universe. Maybe a good way to promote that. Just like they did with The Little Mermaid, because that came out, and then like the next day, the company's like, hey, guess what? We got a remastered Blu-ray of this coming out. So if you liked it on Riff Tracks, you might, you know, if you want it, here you go. You can buy it in a brand new updated format. I do think that's a little out of reach. It would be amazing.
I don't want them
I'm
to
not going
to
hold my breath for anything.
I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, do the whole canon thing. And I'm like, no. But if they do Masters, then I won't be mad at them if they do Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to spend 5 years of watching canon. <You know>? I just don't want to do that.
I mean,
every now and then it's okay.
Yeah, sprinkle at least a few in. I mean, we haven't had... What was the one that we got, Rescue Me?
The Apple? Yeah, I think we've had the Apple and Rescue Me, I think, are the only ones that we've had. Yeah. But the apple is like,
I love the apple.
Pure riff tracks.
I love the apple so much.
Pure riff tracks.
Whatever they announced for us for the Kickstarter, and what was it, March last year when we got that?
Something like that, yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm already making plans, so hopefully I'll be back around some people at that time of year, whatever it's going to be.
Hopefully I'll be there as well, because it's been 8 years since I've been there. And I feel like I need to have a Riff Tracks live experience that isn't marred by controversy. So,
right. And I am wearing my shirt. This is the Kickstarter shirt today. I would have worn it last time, but I had worn it the day before when I got it. And it was
before
in the laundry basket.
Before we go, speaking of that, I got my coin in the mail. And the return address was not San Diego.
Yeah.
Does anybody know about this? Did Riff Tracks move to Reno?
I don't know specifically where they moved, but I was talking to Eric last week or the week before, and he mentioned that they had just moved their office somewhere, and a lot of stuff
was still
packed up.
We'll have to get somebody on the podcast and confirm this hot info, whatever it is, this hot scoop, I guess they say in the biz.
We need to get somebody on here anyway. It's been a long time since we've had one.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we actually had like a guest.
Yeah,
yeah, that was when Matthew J. Elliott literally crashed. That was amazing.
That was when we were using Zencastr, and
yes,
they had just started using video, and it was kind of like forced video on everybody. Yeah. And Matthew J. Elliott tried to join in, and
in progress,
it literally
like as we were
just
wrapping up,
killed
and it just
everything.
Broke everything. It was insane.
It was amazing because Dave could hear him before I could, and he was like, "Wait, that sounds like Matthew J. Elliott." He's like, "What am I hearing?"
I could hear him. You couldn't. It was really crazy, but yeah.
Go back
and find it.
Beginning of season three.
I think it might have been the greatest moment in Riffcast history.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, Jeremy,
Matthew J. Elliott, we love you, and get well, man.
Yes, get well, sir. That breaks my heart so badly.
Yes, it does. Yes, Dave, you were going to ask me something.
I was going to say, I have a job I got to get to in the morning, so we should probably wrap this.
Yes, of course. If you like the podcast and you want to support us at all it takes is a follow right here on Twitch for those of you who are watching us live. And if you're listening to us after the fact, you can head on over to twitch.tv/pbnawesome, and you can drop us a follow. Of course, we appreciate subscriptions and bits and all that stuff, too, if you feel like it or you can or whatever. Also, if you want to, you can head over to patreon.com/trueblueriffcast, and you can support us over there if you feel like it or if you can. Again, it doesn't matter. We're still going to do this. We don't need the support. It's just appreciated. I'm on pretty much any social network thing as PBN Awesome. I really don't do a lot of social stuff anymore. I still pop on maybe once every week or so and just check to see what people are talking about. And you can follow the podcast at TB Riffcast on Twitter. And if you want to get a hold of us in any way, shape, or form, you can send us an email, truebluerifcast@gmail.com.
And I'm Dave. You can check me out on Amazon, Audible. I'm on X, formerly known as Twitter, as DChat at DChadwick Author. And yeah. That's it.
I think you got it. I think you got it right that time.
I know.
All right. We will see everybody probably next week. Yes, next week. I already have the day off. I got my schedule. So, we'll plan on being here. And We'll talk about something. If there's nothing new this week,
we'll talk about an old something.
Maybe we'll talk about what is it, Blood on Her Hands, the newest
Bridget
Mary Jo.
Bridget Mary Jo, yeah.
Yeah. But until next week, guys, we will see you right here on the True Blue Riffcast.
Rock till you die.
Rock till you die.